It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back, quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Greg Pickle, Todd Sadowski from Fox 43. You might know him from the Sunday Frenzy.
That's right, the Sunday Sports Frenzy.
Sports Frenzy.
We're rocking it.
Yep. Yeah. You might know him from that. If you don't, you probably know him from all his other high-profile gigs that he does.
And look, let me say, guys, I mean, it's been a while since I joined you, right? And I said, I had so much fun. I would love to come back. And you guys were like, yeah. When Penn State's 8-0, you can come back. When Penn State's 8-0.
We thought we were getting rid of you.
So here I am. This is great. All right. I want to thank the guys and Nittany Lions, and I get to come back.
But yeah, you're on probation for sure. 9-0, we'll talk again. Penn State 8-0, as you mentioned, 28-7 win over Michigan State. Coming to you, of course, now from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Easy to bleed blue and white right now at 8-0. And James Franklin addressed this, and I think we'll hear from him later. But this three-game stretch that they just got through, a road trip to Iowa, home against Michigan, and a road trip to Michigan State. Boy, I think each step of the way, one way or another, we call this a season-defining stretch. You know, I know I picked them to lose to Michigan at home. Michigan, again, a victim of its own high expectations to start this season out. I think this is a pretty good team now, as we've seen the last six or so quarters. This is a good Michigan team that's getting better. Not good enough to beat Penn State, beat Notre Dame this past weekend. Going to Michigan State, hard to forecast a win when they're going out there the way the last 2 years have gone. And I think the Vegas sports books really set a line, which came down to 4.5 around kick time, Greg?
Yep.
That showed a lot of respect for this Michigan State team coming off a bye. Dangerous game. I don't think I'd call it a trap game because Penn State wasn't going to be trapped by this team. They might have been beaten by this team, but they weren't going to be trapped. Turns out it was neither of them. So they get through this, and you know, I think the feeling sometimes is to always want more, but your team's unbeaten. You know, you wanted to you're up 21-0, you're up 28-0 against this Michigan State team. You want to beat them 64-0 or whatever. But this was a good win when it all is said and done. I think it's worth taking a look back at this whole stretch. Three good wins, you know, against a ranked team in Iowa, a ranked team in Michigan, and they're 8-0 with these wins under their belt. They got beat up to do it. They go into a bye, and they have got everything to play for coming out of it.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I think, Todd, that jumps out to me about where this season's gone so far is that every time you look at some of these games, the Michigan game, the trip to Iowa, the trip to Michigan State, and you say to yourself, you know, Penn State probably doesn't win all three of these games, the past versions of it. And you can make some arguments that this Penn State team's more talented in some areas, maybe not as talented as some others, in terms of comparing them to the 16 team, the 17 team, and the 18 team. But this team has a little bit of a different vibe to it. And I think it mostly comes back to confidence. And, you know, we heard Micah Parsons way back in the spring talk about the fact, Cam Brown did too. I remember standing there in the Haluba Hall era. Yeah, you know, in Haluba, not Haluba, you know, I've frazzled myself. But back in the spring, Cam Brown saying that, you know, we sat down and said, we are not going to let this stuff happen again. I mean, he said, we are not going to lose close games. We're not going to let games slip through our fingertips. And, you know, it's easy to say that stuff in the spring. What else are they going to say? You know, they're not going to sit there and say, yeah, we intend to lose those close ones again. But at the same time, it set a certain tone for, I think, how these guys were going to train for the next handful of months, and it certainly has paid off.
Well, style points just don't matter this time of year. You just have to continue to win. We're seeing it already. The teams that are undefeated slowly keep creeping up the polls, whether it's Baylor, whether it's Minnesota. Even though some soft schedules are out there, you're eventually going to get tested, and Penn State has been tested. We got another ranked team with Minnesota coming on the schedule. Then, of course, in Columbus. Yes, you know, what's the vogue phrase now? Complementary football, right? And Coach Franklin's talking about that. And you can use that phrase, you can use other phrases, but it's really just finding different ways to get the job done. And one of the things that he talked about a long time ago was special teams, that he was going to really adjust the special teams and make that a priority. Look, Michigan State did not start a drive anywhere better than their own 32 for the entire game. I'm looking at where they started their possessions in the second half. Very official,
torn out notebook piece.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. This is the second half when you're trying to make a comeback from your own 14. A muffed punt that is immediately recovered by Dan Chisna. The Gunners are right there with this punt coverage team, with him and Drew Hartlob from Southwestern. Their own 25 because it was a touchback. Their own 32 because of an interception. Their own 20, their own 1, their own 8, their own 21, and their own 20. So, yeah, watching the offense maybe was a little frustrating in the second half. Why can't the offense put them away a little bit more? Because they didn't need to. They were already ahead 28-0, and that game was already over. And the special teams and Blake Gillikin and the punt coverage team and the defense, when you make a team like Michigan State go 80, 90 yards, this is the formula to try and beat a team like Ohio State. You've got to do all those little extra things as well, if not better, than they do to win those type of games.
A quick thought on Penn State's defense, too, especially when you go to Iowa, you play this Iowa defense, so they want to keep everything in front of you. They want to make you consistently move the ball and keep the chains moving if you want to score on them. Michigan's defense, as you mentioned, high risk, high reward. They're going to put their guys on islands. They're going to crowd the box. They're going to bring pressure. Penn State's somewhere in the middle of these two types of philosophies, where they do kind of make you string together long drives to beat you. They speed up the opposing offense's clock by putting consistent pressure. And even if the pressure is not getting there, even if it's well blocked, that is still with a quarterback as he's making decisions.
Yeah.
And the ball's coming out quick. They don't really have many opportunities to get the ball down the field. Now, we haven't seen offenses who are really, really capable of doing that. Ohio State will be a little different test. But if you're putting pressure on the quarterback, if you're stopping the run, if you're making the opposing offense move so quickly that big plays aren't really even on the table, you know, you're somewhere in the middle of these two philosophies where, yeah, teams are going to have to drive a long way. And then if you have Blake Gillikin downing punts inside the 10, it's going to have to be even longer. So they've got a good brand of complementary football. We had some gripes at some points in the year about going three and out too quickly and that kind of stuff. But all in all, through eight games, the complementary football has been really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think nothing sums it up quite like this. Penn State's average, to Todd's point as well, Penn State's average starting field position was its own 43, Michigan State's with its own 19. You're going to win a lot of football games when you're able to be almost to midfield every time you start to drive, and they are, it backed up almost to their own end zone every time they take over.
Especially in the Big Ten, guys. I mean, look, this isn't a quarterback-centric conference, right? To talk about defense and the running game and that type of stuff as the weather gets worse. Now, they're going to face a couple of better quarterbacks in Tanner Morgan and Justin Fields, but if you make them you have to have superior execution all the way down the field. And with this rushing defense, they're making teams one-dimensional so that they have to dink and dunk you all the way down the field with all those completions and all that speed at linebacker to cover these guys that are coming out in 4 and 5 yard patterns. It just doesn't happen that easily when it's a Big Ten offense or really any offense like that. And it's just built differently. And I think it's working for this team, especially when you get ahead. Sean Clifford has enough playmakers. He throws a great deep ball. Remember, Chisna dropped a short touchdown.
Yep.
Could have been 35-7 easily. So it's just working this formula this year. You remember Trace McSorley's sophomore year? It was built around the offense, all those incredible skills players. You had to outscore the other team, and they started slowly, and then they'd finish fast, right? Well, they're starting fast with the offense and then being able to lean on this defense a little bit. I mean, they scored 49 points in the Rose Bowl and lost. How does that happen, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just, this is the way that they wanted to transition the roster and transition the team a little bit. And it's working. Gave Clifford enough time to get his feet under him. He's got a lot of confidence, to your point, Greg, about the confidence of this team. And it just looks real solid. They get a week off to rest, see what they can do the last four games.
James Franklin said this bye week comes at a tremendous time. They had some injuries.
Has there ever been a bye week that doesn't come at a tremendous time? I was thinking about that on the flight home from Detroit.
If you're Michigan State, it does.
Well,
Penn State, bye.
Yeah, that's, I guess, not great.
And in the middle of that, Penn State said bye to Michigan State. So bye, to quote the NSYNC crowd.
You can just talk for yourself.
But I do think... a bye week after the non-conference to recenter yourselves for the start of conference play and that game against Maryland that looked like it had some implications as well. And then to get through that stretch that ends with, you know, Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa, three games that are going to really test you mentally and physically. I do think that Penn State was fortunate in the timing of its bye weeks for sure. We do have a bye week, Penn State 8-0 going into it. GoPSURV.com. If you haven't looked them up yet, look them up because you got two more chances this season, Indiana and Rutgers, those games in Happy Valley. The ultimate tailgating experience is there for you. All you got to do is take your internet browser, your Internet Explorer browzer, the 5.1 edition of Internet Explorer. Go to GoPSURV.com and see what they have to offer, which is a lot. They take all the logistics out of play for you. So all you got to do is show up and have a good time. And who doesn't want that? GoPSURV.com. Real quick about Pat Freiermuth, you know, a 3-touchdown day. He was, you know, as he should be a lot of times, the focal point when there was a big play to be had. Freiermuth was the guy in this game. Sloppy, wet, you needed a guy like this to step up. And now he's got 15 career touchdown catches, tying Penn State's record for a tight end, and he's a season and a half into his career.
5 catches, 60 yards. I mean, he was targeted 5 times, caught 5 passes. I think Ben Jones from statecollege.com tweeted that he's a walking Mackey Award. He really is. When they get him a part of the game plan, there's just no one that can stop. How do you match up with a guy who, because of prep school, is a year older than he should be compared to what class he's in? He can block. He can run. He can jump over guys. He can run over guys. I can't recall many, if any, drops from him so far in his Penn State career. Just a terrific player. And when Penn State gets him involved, it is a challenge for other teams to stop him.
And by the way, does it not serve them well with tight end recruits across the country? I mean, are they not paying attention to what's been going on at the tight end position? Not only tight ends, but running backs. I mean, if you heard the call from Chris Myers of Miles Sanders running, you know, the rookie out of Penn State. I mean, that goes across the country. And they see Miles Sanders, Saquon Barkley succeeding. They see Pat Freiermuth, Mike Sicky doing their things, and you know the high school kids are paying attention to what this offense is doing with running backs and with tight ends. It's impressive. It's absolutely impressive what the guy's doing.
And I think showing that with those two positions in particular, what they're trying to show now is being able to use multiple bodies at the running back position. They've shown they can get Freiermuth involved. And Freiermuth, I mean, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. He's a true sophomore. He's probably not playing more than 3 years here. The hands, the body control, you know, you see him on some of these catches where he's able to kind of seamlessly get himself pointed upfield, the hit. I mean, he's a really impressive kid, and they have made a point to use him. They made a point to use him in this game, and I think we're going to only see him more and more and more. Not that he was, you know, a small part by any means, but this is what he's capable of doing, and Penn State could use a guy like that in the middle of the field. It's hard to match up when you are. We're going to hear from James Franklin a little bit coming up. Penn State 8-0 now, beating Michigan State 28-7. A really thorough win on the road against a Spartans team that had been a thorn in their side. They go through Iowa, they go through Michigan, they go through Michigan State. They gear up with a bye week, then get pointed towards the rest of the season. We're getting pointed towards the rest of the show. That's coming up in a moment.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.